Good morning. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 10 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Thursday, August the 2nd. We will get to our regularly scheduled interview on teen drivers and cell phones in just a few minutes. But as promised, we will continue to bring you guests and perspectives on the bridge collapse in Minneapolis last night. Minneapolis police say the number of confirmed fatalities in the bridge collapse has actually been lowered to 4 from 7. But that toll could go up as authorities continue recovery efforts in the Mississippi River and at the bridge collapse site this morning. 20 people are still missing. At least 20 people are still missing. At least 60 people were hurt in this collapse after the interstate bridge, I-35, fell into the Mississippi River during rush hour, a little after 6 o'clock last night. It was really a shock to see this on the news last night, the images on TV, and to hear the eyewitness accounts of what happened. And maybe it hits us a little harder because this is so close to home. It's our neighbor, Minnesota. And frankly, a lot of us have probably driven on that bridge. We will talk about the psychology of all this and how it's affecting all of us with Frank Farley. And we'll only be having him for a few minutes. So if you have a question, call in 1-800-642-1234 in Madison 263-1890. Frank Farley is a psychologist at Temple University. He is the former president of the American Psychological Association, and he joins us by telephone. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy.
So this really was a shock to see this, shock to all of us, wasn't it?
No question. I mean, something like this, you know, is so everyday, crossing a bridge. My gosh. I mean, as we speak, there are millions of commuters in America crossing bridges, and I'll bet you they're more nervous this morning than they ever have been on that particular trip.
Yeah, that's right. And some of us, when I was small anyway, I used to have a fear of the bridge because they just seem to kind of shake a little bit, and it's kind of spooky to be over that water. We'll get over it, though, the fear of bridges?
We will, yes. But you know, that's not terra firma. And there's a bridge that I cross quite frequently, and it's very high. It crosses the Susquehanna River. And I'll tell you, I'm always nervous crossing that bridge. I don't know why, but it's not terra firma, you know. And you often wonder, what if something gives way? I mean, your chances are very little with the long plunge. For example, this one on the I-35 was a 60-foot plunge into the river. And so that common experience, you know, when it turns bad, that's exceptionally scary because it's like in your backyard.
Yeah, now, and maybe our fears were not calmed very much by a story we just heard in the NPR newscast. Apparently a recent survey of bridge safety in the country by some engineers found that one quarter of them are deficient or obsolete. Not necessarily that they're going to collapse tomorrow, but they need to be fixed up.
You know, that's one of those mundane things that politicians don't talk much about, the whole infrastructure in this country. But my gosh, how many times have you driven under like an overpass and you look and you see this kind of crumbling concrete? You know, and it crosses your mind like, boy, how safe is that? And I think this really points a finger. Now, this one was under construction, apparently, but it points a finger at you know, the problems of our infrastructure here.
Yeah. Now, they are saying that they believe this was caused by some sort of infrastructure problem, though they don't, they being the authorities, don't know for sure yet. They did rule out terrorism almost immediately, though. Is that a relief to us, or do we wonder if they can rule that out so quickly?
Well, it does strike me as odd that they could rule it out that fast. However, it's interesting whether people would feel more comforted or discomforted by that. It's, you know, a big source of human fear is uncertainty. The basic MO of terrorists is uncertainty. When you are threatened by anthrax in your mailbox, that scares a whole nation. And even if it only occurs in a handful of mailboxes, it has extent. It has implications throughout the whole land. And So I think it's extremely important that they nail that down for sure as to whether it's terrorism or not. You know, for some people, they would be comforted if it was terrorism because, you know, okay, that's that one incident. And for other people, they'll really be panicky. But one of the things that's interesting about this kind of phenomenon is we're often so afraid of the extreme and unusual event, like an airplane that goes down. And when that happens, sometimes people won't fly for a significant period of time due to fear. And yet, you know, we know that the death toll from airplanes compared to accidents in the home and in everyday life, you know, there's no contest there. I mean, the flight is very safe compared to these other venues. But the unusualness of it and is the key ingredient. And that could happen in this case. You know, this is so unusual. It occurred under a condition where, you know, people didn't have any control. Apparently, it was packed. The bridge was packed bumper mm-hmm. to bumper. And so there you are, and it's so unusual and so extreme that we'll exaggerate it. And yet, you know, right now the death toll has been reduced from 7 to 4, 20 still missing, so we don't know the final outcome. But compared to death in everyday situations around the home, home accidents, climbing ladders, falling off, mm-hmm. et cetera, it's minor, but it will have a much greater impact.
Yeah, and put it in perspective, Professor Farley?
Totally.
Yeah.
You have to keep things like this in perspective. The likelihood that you this morning in your commute, crossing a bridge in your community, something like this is going to happen, it approximates zero.
Yeah.
So it's very important to keep perspective.
Thank you so much for joining us on such short notice. We really appreciate it.
You're welcome, Joy.
Frank Farley, psychologist at Temple University, former president of the American Psychological Association. We'll talk about teen drivers and cell phones right after this. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 18 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Thursday, August the 2nd. We will talk with a state legislator for the rest of this half hour who is reintroducing a bill that would make teen drivers hang up their cell phones while they're on the road. And we will wonder if you think this is a good idea or not. Should Wisconsin ban teen drivers from using cell phones while in the car? 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890. Or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Our guest is Jerry Petruski, Republican State Representative from Marathon and author of Assembly Bill 464. He joins us by telephone. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy.
Thanks very much for being with us, and I apologize for the abbreviation of the interview due to that bridge collapse.
No, I
yesterday.
Can understand.
Yeah, that was quite a shocker. Now, you are introducing a bill to make our roads safer in another way, and I suppose to protect these teen drivers. Why do you want to ban teen drivers from using cell phones while driving?
Well, it isn't so much just teen drivers. What it is, in Wisconsin, we have something called the Graduated Driver's License Program, which new drivers under 18, for starting out, the first 9 months they have their learner's permit and their probationary license. They are required with certain restrictions. They can only have so many young people in the car outside of family members. They can only restrict them for certain hours of operation. This would add one more restriction to the Graduated Driver's License Program, that being the use of cell phones. And I think this is a good common sense approach. When you look at the Graduated Driver's License Program, it really deals with allowing young people time to hone their skills to become the best drivers that they can be. And certainly, if it is too much of a distraction to have too many young people in the car at one time, I believe it's too much of a distraction to be talking on the cell phone while you're driving and basically learning how to drive that first 9 month period.
Yeah. So let me get that straight. I just the bill though would only cover the probationary period of a teen driver, but once that's over, then driving with a cell phone is
correct.
Okay.
We call it the Graduated Driver's License Program. That's that 9 month period.
Mm-hmm.
This has shown great success not only in Wisconsin with saving lives of young drivers, but across the nation.
Yeah. May I ask why not go farther than that?
You know, this is the third time we're making this run at this bill. And so far it hasn't passed. I think this is a common sense approach, especially dealing with developing good habits of young drivers. If this doesn't have the support to pass, certainly the other restrictions that go farther are not going to have the ability to get passed either. Every year, you know, there's a lot of talk about restriction of cell phones. Some totally ban cell phones. Some ban just the hands-held one. And then, of course, there's another bill that usually bans the two-year period of the probationary driver's license.
Yeah.
So those are all ideas out there, and I happen to think that this is a common-sense approach with efforts of usage with cell phones.
Yeah, and why do you think this will make roads safer?
Well, I think if you've driven around lately, you see that more and more people are using cell phones, and especially in the case with young drivers, this is a training period, and it's also to develop good habits in driving. You know, we also have laws in the books dealing with inattentive driving that could be used, but many times, unless there's property damage or physical damage, officers or law enforcement is hesitant to write those tickets because a lot of times they don't get past the judge.
Yeah. What kind of penalties would be in place if a kid is found violating this?
The first time, I guess, it is $50, and any subsequent offense would be between $50 and $100.
Yeah. I saw the coverage of you reintroducing this bill right after that horrific accident. I think it was in Nebraska. It was a car full of five teenage girls. They were just graduated from high school, so this wouldn't have necessarily applied to them. They were probably 17, 18 years old. However, the accident, they believe, was caused by texting, using a cell phone to text back and forth with another vehicle. The driver, they think, might have been texting at the time of the accident. Was it just a coincidence that that you reintroduced your bill at the time that news coverage was there?
Yeah, completely coincidence.
Yeah.
We've had actually some accidents in Wisconsin where cell phones were involved also. In fact, a number of years ago, the State Patrol did a study, and it showed that cell phone usage was a problem, but there, too, it wasn't that much different than all the rest of the distractions, whether it's, you know, people eating or people writing or people combing their hair, or, you know, the whole variety of other distractions that are out there that you see on the highway.
Gordon in Reedsburg is our first caller. We do have an open line for you if you have a question about this bill that would restrict teen drivers from using cell phones while driving. Or if you have a question about it or a view on it, 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. Gordon in Reedsburg joins us by telephone. Good morning.
Hello.
Good morning.
After watching my daughters drive and stuff with trying to text and use their cell phones and watching other people driving, I think it should be more broad-based than just the beginning drivers.
Yeah, well,
what would you like to see?
I'd like to see everybody not use a cell phone when they're behind the wheel of a vehicle.
Okay. I understand that. I just don't think that there's support, you know, widespread support across the legislature to do that.
Okay, because I've had repeated near misses because of people using their cell phones and talking, trying to make, you know, turn corners and stuff like that.
Right.
Yeah.
They're horrible.
I think there's a big difference also where there's a lot of traffic or if it's more rural areas. If there's not much traffic on the road, you know, it probably makes a big difference.
Yeah, Gordon, did you say that you have teenagers?
I have three teenage daughters.
Yeah, and do they use cell phones while driving?
Not when I'm with them, they don't, but I know they probably do when I'm not.
Yeah. What about that? Shouldn't parents just tell their kids, "Hey, you can't use a cell phone while you're driving," Representative Petrosky?
Well, I think that's a great way to approach it. However, a lot of times I'm sure that not every son or daughter does exactly what their dad tells them to do.
Yeah. I'm curious why something that would just be cover 9 months of this graduated licensing program would have such opposition in the state legislature. Can you shed some light on that?
Well, the first time, I believe we ran out of time. It was introduced late in the year. The last time it went to joint finance after it passed the assembly on the floor. And there was an initial cost of $40,000 that the department came up with. Now, we did change one thing in the bill this time, and that was to allow implementation of this law once signed by the department. And we did that because all the materials that are printed for the graduated driver's license program would have to be changed, you know, with adding another restriction. So we figured that it made sense to use up the material they have, and then when they would reprint, they would include the cell phone restriction and also implement the law at that time. Now, the other thing that costs money with this is the computer changes, the programming.
Why? What do you have to change?
Well, I think it's one more penalty and one more restriction that they have to add into, you know, their programming.
I see.
Now, it seems kind of outrageous to spend $40,000 towards that, but that's the cost that they had come up with.
Yeah, because the cell phone companies don't oppose this bill.
No. No, they, I believe, are neutral on this bill.
Shirley in Madison is with us. Hi, Shirley.
Good morning.
Good morning, Shirley.
I know this sounds crazy, but I work at the university, and I've seen a number of students riding their bicycles or their scooters talking on the cell phones at the same time. would it apply to young people on bicycles? And
no. No, it wouldn't apply to bicycles, but the scooter, if they're a new driver under the graduated driver's license program, then it would apply.
The scooter is a part of that.
Motor vehicle.
Yeah, because it says it would also apply to motorcycle riders.
Correct.
Yeah. That would be nuts to be on. Anyway, Jim in Fond du Lac. Hi, you're on the air. Jim.
Hello.
Yes, go ahead, please.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Morning, Jim.
Morning. I applaud you for what you're trying to do, and I'm going to be very brief because I'm in a semi right now. I've got 30 and a half years over 3 million miles driving a rig. I'll tell you what, cell phones are great and cell phones are bad. I when you look around, you're in heavy traffic, count 8, 9, 10 individuals, and everybody is talking on the phone. It gets scary. I seriously wish that there's some way you could look at having an inspector along and tell this individual on our inspection for your driver's license, are you going to use a cell phone? The cell phone will ring. We're going to see how you operate your vehicle while you're on the cell phone. And I think it's a great idea because there's a lot of people that are trying to do too many things, and cell phones are not one of them when you're in heavy traffic. But if you could do us all one favor for the state of Wisconsin, we need to set the standard. We need to completely not have cell phone usage in construction areas. I mean, I cannot believe that people are just missing our workers and
all right,
equipment.
Jim, I'm thank you very much for calling. It sounds like you have a lot of support even for a full-fledged ban on all drivers and cell phones, Representative Petruski.
Well, thank you, Joy.
Yeah, thanks very much for being with us.
Yep, have a good day.
You too. Jerry Petruski, Republican State Representative from Marathon, author of Assembly Bill 464, which would restrict teen drivers from using cell phones during the graduated licensing period. We will talk about junk science coming up in our next half hour. This is the Ideas Network.